My Brilliant Friend by Elena Ferrante. Translated from the Italian by Anne Goldstein and dramatised for radio by Timberlake Wurtenbaker. Part 1.
This morning I heard you had disappeared, as I always thought you would, as you warned me you would, all those years ago when we were young women. I asked you then if you meant suicide.
You didn't understand.
It was hard to understand you sometimes. I asked if you would run away, change your identity, and make a new life somewhere.
I didn't have to leave Naples to disappear.
There's not an item of clothing, not a paper, not a trace of you left, nothing. How can someone vanish from the middle of a city?
Didn't I tell you? I'd simply find a way to make all my cells disappear so that nothing of me was left.
I won't let you disappear. I'll find you.
Do you believe you can stop me from disappearing if that's what I decide to do?
I can hold on to you. I can keep you.
I gave you that chance. You threw it away, remember? You stood on that bridge and you threw all my papers, everything I'd written, into the river.
Yes, but I'd read everything, absorbed everything. I'll find you again.
Are you sure you want to?
Even now, in this final act of yours, you have to dare me. As you always did from the very beginning. Well, let's see who wins now, Raffaella Cerullo, my friend. Lila.
I want you to get it right, that's all.
I always try.
Only when I'm there to challenge you, Elena Greco. Remember?
What's your doll's name?
Tina. What's yours called?
New. You can play with her if you like, but you have to give me yours in exchange.
Here. Be a good girl, Tina.
Lila's going to hold you. That's a nice blue dress she has.
My mother made it.
And she's made of strong plastic.
I like your new. She's soft.
That's because new's made of old cloth, so of course she's soft.
Well, Tina, open your eyes. Can you see down there into the dark cellar of the ogre Don Achille?
Shh! Don't say his name out loud.
Why not? My father says never ever to mention his name, never to go near him, and if I ever see him in the street, not to look at him or speak to him.
There's hot flames streaming from Don Achille's mouth. He has a big black bag too. Tina, let's see if you've got any courage. Why don't you have an adventure and go down into the ogre's cellar?
Stop! She's gone! You pushed my doll through the grating. How could you?
I could. I did.
Fine. I'm doing the same with New.
You wouldn't dare.
What you do, I do.
There. And now we'll have to go down to the cellar and get our dolls back.
Into the ogre's cellar.
Are you afraid?
No, of course not.
It's locked. There's a heavy chain holding it. Look, this panel is loose. If we push, we can squeeze through.
I've torn my dress. Mama will be furious. I can't see anything.
You'll get used to the dark.
It's full of dead cockroaches.
Not much here. Fruit boxes, bits of a wardrobe. Look, that's an old lamp. And what's this? It's just a mask, silly. An old anti-gas mask.
Don't! Please, it's horrible! There's no mouth! Please, take it off!
My father has one in the storeroom at home. It's from the war. I don't see our dolls. They aren't here. They aren't here.
Tina! Tina, where are you? Lila, where are you going? We have to keep looking.
They're not here. Don Achille took them and put them in his black bag.
Tina! My Tina!
We'll have to go to Don Achille ourselves and tell him to give them back.
Don Achille? But he'll kill us!
Well, I'm going. You can do what you want.
Even now, I feel no nostalgia for our childhood. It was full of violence. The women fought among themselves even more than the men. They pulled each other's hair, they hurt each other. To cause pain was a common disease.
You know what happens in our neighbourhood, Lena? There are these almost invisible animals that arrive at night. They get into the water and the food on the air. And that's what makes our mothers and all the women as angry as starving dogs.
Really? Have you seen them?
Sometimes, yes.
Leela had appeared in year one, and we were all impressed by her because she was very, very bad. And she was the only one who wasn't afraid of our teacher, Maestra Oliviero.
Who dare throw those pieces of blotting paper? Of course it's you, Raffaella Cirullo. Go and stand behind the blackboard. Right now. Stop throwing that paper now. How dare you try to hit me with it and stand behind the blackboard. Am I going to have to drag you? Wait till I get hold of you. Ah!
Maestra!
She's dead. Look. There's blood.
She's not dead. She's breathing.
She's bleeding from her face.
We were used to blood. We were even more used to vicious exchanges and curses. My father seemed a good, kind man, but he was always cursing someone. He kept his worst insults for Don Achille, and sometimes I had to cover my ears, they were so violent. But the person who hated Don Achille even more than my father was a man called Signor Peluso, a carpenter who gambled his money away and was the father of our classmate Carmela and a boy, Pasquale, who was older than us.
The reason Signor Peluso hates Don Achille, Lena, is because of what happened before.
Before?
Before us. There was a time before us, you know, when we didn't exist. And that's when Don Achille sucked blood from everyone and never lost any blood himself. And that's why Signor Peluso hates him.
But Signor Peluso still has all his blood, doesn't he?
He says Don Achille took everything, and it's because of Don Achille that he can't feed his family. Don Achille took a shop and turned it into the grocery store, and I don't know. It's very hard understanding the before, but someday I will.
Me too.
But even in the not before, since we've been around, remember that day, right in front of the church, Don Achille was coming out with his wife and his sons, Stefano and Alfonso, and his daughter, Pinuccia. And right in front of everybody, Signor Peluso started screaming at Don Achille and insulting him, calling him a fascist. And that's when Don Achille left his wife and children and walked across the street towards Signor Peluso, picked him up and hurled him against a tree in the public gardens and left him there, with blood coming out of the wounds on his head and blood coming out of his teeth and mouth. And there was so much blood, he couldn't even cry for help.
That happened?
Don't you know anything?
I tried. I always tried to keep up with you, and even to be better than you. At least I was the best student in the class, and the maestra often asked me to sit next to her, which was a great honour. I much preferred school to home. Home was where my mother was, always angry with her horrible limp and a right eye that didn't work properly. She couldn't sleep, and I would hear her limping through the flat at night, crushing the cockroaches with the same fury she often displayed towards me. But my father encouraged me, and I thought that if I did well at school, maybe I wouldn't end up with a limp and crossed eyes like my mother. I worked hard. But then one day, Leela, your mother, Nuncia Cirullo, came to the class. She was dressed as if for a wedding or a funeral, with a black purse and proper shoes, and she handed the teacher two bags. One of sugar, one of coffee.
Coffee. Thank you, Signora Cirullo. I asked you to come to this class because I want to show you something. Do you see your daughter, Leela Cirullo, sitting there?
Yes, Maestra.
Class, do you see Leela Cirullo? Do you? And you would agree with me that she is the worst behaved of the class?
Yes, Maestra.
So she did a terrible thing the other day by throwing blotting paper filled with ink at you all and then at me. And that if she hadn't been so disruptive, I wouldn't have fallen down and cut my cheek. You agree with that, don't you?
Yes, Maestra.
But there is something that as a teacher and as a person fills me with deep joy. Something I discovered by chance a few days ago. Leela Cirullo, come over here. Go on. Now, stand here in front of the blackboard.
What is written there?
Son.
Can anyone tell me if that's what's written here, class? Signora Cerullo?
I can't read.
Leela has indeed read the word correctly. Son is the word that I wrote on the blackboard. Now, Leela, take the chalk and write the word chalk. That's not quite right. You've written chack. You have to add an L like that.
She made a mistake. I'm so sorry, Maestra.
Not at all, Signora Cerullo. You must not be sorry, but on the contrary, very proud of her. Leela Cerullo has to practice, but she already knows how to read and write. That is extraordinary. Who is teaching her?
Not her father, miss, I promise.
But is there someone in your building or in your family who might have taught her?
No, her brother is 6 years older, but he still can't read and write. He's a good craftsman, though. He's learning the Cerullo shoe trade.
Who taught you to read and write, Leela Cerullo?
Me?
I looked at you, small, dark-haired, dark-eyed, in your dark smock, with your thin legs always kicking, always moving. So different from me. And I thought that if I modelled myself on you, then maybe I wouldn't end up with a limp like my mother. And I decided from that day on that I'd never let you out of my sight. But that was a very dangerous enterprise.
How did you do that?
What?
Beat them all in the test.
I didn't do it on purpose. It was a stupid competition.
But we were competing against the boys in year four.
So?
We're only in year two, Leela. They know so much more than us. Don Achille's son Alfonso defeated me immediately, and I had to drop out. Even Nino Saratore couldn't answer the questions, and he's the best in the class. How did you manage to do all that maths in your head?
It's just a question of not being afraid.
Who would have thought that everyone would drop out except Enzo? He's supposed to be stupid.
He's good at numbers, that's all.
Even Alfonso Caracci had to drop out eventually because of Enzo. He was furious.
Yeah.
Why did you pretend you didn't know the answers when it was Alfonso answering them?
I just didn't.
But you did, really. Tell me the truth. Was it because Alfonso is Don Achille's son?
I wasn't concentrating, that's all.
And then when only Enzo was left, you started concentrating.
Maybe it became more interesting.
I've never heard such swearing in class when Enzo lost to you. He was furious to lose to a girl.
Tough.
I don't think it's going to end there.
And it didn't. From then on, when we walked home together from school, the boys threw rocks at us. Alfonso's brother, Stefano, who was the oldest son of Don Achille, came to school and swore at Leela. She swore back. He pushed her against a wall.
See this pen? I'll put it through your tongue if you don't shut up.
I'll tell my brother Rino about your threats. You'll see.
Meanwhile, Enzo made the mistake of going back home alone one night and was punched and kicked by Stefano. The next morning, Stefano and Leela's brother, Rino, had a big fight and gave each other equal beatings. A few days later, the wife of Don Achille, Donna Maria, went to find Nuncia, Leela's mother, and started shouting at her.
Is it true your father apologised to Don Achille?
Yeah.
Did he say what for? I heard he just kept apologising. It was because you beat his son in the competition.
Who cares? Why are you walking so fast?
I thought I saw someone up there on the hill. That's where they always throw stones from. Hurry!
Are you afraid?
Of course not. It's just...
There's Enzo. Up there. I can see him. He's alone.
We could run.
Why? We can get him. Pick up those stones and hand them to me, one by one. Quick! Missed. Give me another one, quick.
Got him! Right in the calf! Ha! Leela, watch out! He's got a huge stone! He's aiming! Leela, Leela! Are you all right? Can you move?
I'm fine. I'm up. Stop shouting!
He hit you right on the head! You're bleeding!
So? It's only blood.
Enzo's running down towards us. What's he going to do now? We've got to run, Leela!
Sorry, Leela. I didn't mean to hurt you. I'm really, really sorry.
He was crying. He really is sorry. How strange.
Leela's brother, Reno, came to school the next day and beat up Enzo, who didn't defend himself. And that was the end of the feuds, for a time.
Lena, how many words do you know that kill?
Do you mean like bomb? Remember when that boy in fourth grade, Janino, came across a bomb and touched it?
A bombardment kills more people than a bomb. War, gas, typhus.
I know one. Tuberculosis.
Tetanus. Remember when one of the daughters of Signora Assunto stepped on a nail and died? That was tetanus. Croup, infection, work.
Work?
You can die of work too. If you fall from the scaffolding, or get caught in a lathe, or end up buried under rubble and you can't breathe, or...
Stop!
Why? Are you frightened?
Always that dare from you. And that's how I found myself following you up the stairs to the flat of the ogre, Don Achille.
Three more floors.
You're sure we have to do this?
He took our dolls.
I can't see.
Take my hand.
This is it.
What do we do now?
We ring the doorbell.
Are you sure?
What is it? You want Pinuccia?
No.
You want to talk to Alfonso?
We want to talk to Don Achille.
You can tell me.
We need to speak to him.
Okay.
Who's there?
The daughter of the shoemaker, together with Greco's oldest daughter.
The man who appeared now in the light of the doorway didn't look like an ogre. His face was of flesh. No flames or sparkling glass. No. Not an ogre as I imagined ogres, but ugly nonetheless.
Well?
The dolls.
Eh? What dolls?
Ours.
Why would we have your dolls here?
They were down in the cellar. You took them.
Pinuccia! Did you take the dolls belonging to the shoemaker's daughter?
No, Papa.
Alfo, did you? I won't put it past you to be playing with dolls.
No, Papa.
You took them, Don Achille. We saw you.
You saw me?
Yes, and you put them in your big black bag.
I couldn't believe we were in Don Achille's apartment with his children there and his wife setting the table in the other room, and you were speaking to him like that. I couldn't believe he was an ordinary person. I waited for the transformation and the flames that would engulf us.
Wait. I took the dolls. Put them in a black bag.
Yes.
Aki, food's ready.
Come in. In my black bag.
Yes.
I see.
He put his hand to his back pocket and I waited for him to bring out the knife and slit our throats. But he took out a wallet and handed Leela some money.
Here. Go and buy yourselves new dolls. And remember, they're a gift from me.
Thank you, and good evening, Don Achille. Enjoy your meal.
No one found out about our visit, and we buried the money.
When are we going to buy new dolls, Leela?
We're not buying new dolls.
But Don Achille gave us the money to buy the new dolls. And I miss Tina.
We're buying a book. I've seen it in the window of the station. It's been there for months. We're buying a book called Little Women. Have you read it?
No, have you?
Maestra Oliveira lent it to me. She said it was a little growing up for me, but she thought I'd like it. I really did like it, but I had to give it back before I could reread it. So we're going to buy it and we'll read it together. And then we can become writers ourselves and make a lot of money. I'm writing a story right now called The Blue Fairy. But I have to work on it more. Let's go and buy the book now.
I can't write now. I'm going to have a private lesson with Maestro Oliveira. She came to see my parents and said I'd have to start preparing now if I wanted to get into the big school. I have to do Latin. She told my parents she thought that with work I could get in. But they'd have to pay for the private lessons. My mother was very angry, But my father agreed to pay.
Yeah, she came to our house too.
You're coming to the big school then?
No.
Why not?
My father refused to pay.
Oh, why?
My father never went to the big school. Reno didn't either, and my father said he didn't see why he should pay for a girl to go to school. But Reno is arguing with him, and Reno will earn money, and he'll pay for me. I'm sure of that. And in the meantime, you'll lend me all your books, and I'll get into that school anyway. I learned to read on my own. I can pass that exam on my own.
I was at the maestra's house every afternoon. For reasons I didn't understand, she turned completely against you, and she didn't want you to sit next to her in class either.
Ha, the old witch.
She used a word I didn't understand when referring to your family. She called them plebs.
She wouldn't even read the story I wrote for her, The Blue Fairy.
I was doing well, and I even received my first proposal. It was from Nino Saratori, the son of Donato Saratori, who worked for the State Railway. I was walking past Don Achille's grocery store, and Nino barred my path. When we grow up, I want to marry you, he said, in good Italian, not the dialect we usually used. He was taller than me, very thin, with long eyelashes and unruly dark hair, and I wanted to say yes, but I was shy. I was only 6.
You always wanted to say yes. To him, to anyone. And you're forgetting Melina. You can't talk about the Saratores without talking about Melina. Melina Capuccio and her 6 children. She lived in the same building as you.
She couldn't have been much over 30, but she seemed old to us. And she cleaned the buildings from top to bottom and again from bottom to top. One day her husband died, just like that, maybe of exhaustion. Everybody went to the funeral, and then something happened to Melina. Maybe grief. And Nino's father, Donato Saratori, was very kind to her.
Very kind to her. Very kind indeed.
He lived on the top floor of the building. He collected money for her, settled her oldest son, Antonio, in a car repair shop, and Melina was grateful to him, but soon her gratitude became something else in her desolate heart. A love. A passion. It wasn't clear Donato Saratori was aware of it.
He was aware of it.
Donato Saratori worked on a train crew for the State Railway and had a decent salary, but he was a good husband, and he even did shopping for his wife, which people like my father thought a womanish thing to do. And he wrote poetry.
If you can call it that.
Well, it was published.
That doesn't mean much.
But Melina decided Donato Saratori was put upon by his wife, and there followed one of those neighbourhood wars between women, a war to the death, which at first we all enjoyed watching. Lydia was blonde and neat, and we all knew Melina was trying to take Donato Saratori away from his own wife.
If Lydia Saratori ends up murdered one day, it's because she deserves it.
Why do you say that?
Because I'm right.
You're just mean.
And there's Marisa Saratori coming towards us. Let's not talk to her.
She's all right.
You don't like Marisa either. You just want her to help you meet with her brother Nino.
Don't be so mean. I told you, I told him not to bother me.
Hi, Marisa.
Hi.
Can I walk with you?
If you can keep up.
Of course you can.
Look, on the other side of the road, there's Melina. You know, the crazy woman. And she's eating in the street. Look at that whore.
What did you say?
I said, look at that whore.
Ah, stop it. You're hurting me.
Stop hitting me. You're hurting her.
If you call Melina that again, I'll kill you. Do you hear? I'll stick a knife in your throat and you'll bleed till you die.
Marisa, are you all right? Lila, where are you going? We're not allowed to cross the Stradone.
And I saw you, your small, dark figure weaving through the traffic and going to Melina with such firmness is the only word I have. And you stood by Melina, firm in your patience. And it was only then that I saw what you must have seen long before me. That what Melina had in her brown paper bag was a soft, dark piece of soap she had bought at the shop, and that what she had been eating as she walked along the street was that soap.
Not much later, the whole Saratori family moved. Donato had got himself a house paid for by the State Railway in the neighbourhood of the Piazza Nazionale.
People said it was his wife who forced him to move to escape from Melina's persecution. They were even saying that Melina had had a child by Donato Saratori and killed it.
We all watched the cart being loaded up with furniture, mattresses, odds and ends.
I watched Nino, but he didn't see me. He was carrying boxes overflowing with stuff. And I felt guilty and sorry that I'd pushed him away. And then we heard... She was throwing things out the window. Bottles, copper pots, plates. I watched Nino, who was looking at the objects as if fascinated, and then I saw an old iron, one of those heavy prowl-shaped ones, plunging down into the courtyard, and it made a hole in the ground. Had it not missed Nino by a few inches, it would have killed him. The day of the exams to the big school approached. And you pushed me to do another thing I would never have dared on my own. You convinced me to skip school for a day and cross the boundaries of the neighbourhood.
But we've never done this before. Don't you want to know what's beyond our neighbourhood? I know that if you walk in the direction of the tunnel and keep going, you get to the sea. Don't you want to go to the sea?
The sea?
My brother's been, and he says the water's blue and sparkling. Come on, tell your mother the maestra has invited all of us girls to her house for the end of year party, and she'll never dare go there and check. That gives us all day.
We met in the morning, we crossed the stradone, and then we turned left towards the tunnel.
This way! I'm hot, Leela. Take off your smock. We can't look like schoolgirls. There's the entrance, come on!
The entrance to the tunnel was very dark. We'd never been inside that darkness.
I held your hand.
The luminous circle of the exit seemed so far away.
There were lines of silvery water sliding along the walls.
Large puddles.
We kept going.
Hello!
We're almost out of the tunnel. No one will look for us for hours.
Reno says we just follow this road straight to the sea.
I feel so free.
We walked for a long time between crumbling walls invaded by weeds, past low structures. There was a hazy sun, a strong smell of burning.
We heard voices speaking in dialect, sometimes shouts.
There's a horse on its own. What's it doing? Oh, look! Do you think that woman up there will recognise us?
No, we're too far from the neighbourhood. No one knows us here.
I'm hungry.
Watch out. That fat old man across the road is waving his thingy at us.
It's the same as Don Mimi's in our neighbourhood.
Yeah, they're all the same.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of anything today. When are we going to get to the sea? I'm thirsty.
Well, we didn't bring anything to drink. We can slow down a bit.
Is that a tank over there? Look.
From the war, yes.
They're poorer than us here. No one seems to notice us. Leela, why aren't you saying anything? When are we getting to the sea?
The tunnel, that boundary of our neighbourhood, had been out of sight for a long time. Around us was a landscape of ruin. Dented tanks, burned wood, wrecks of cars, cartwheels with broken spokes, rusting scraps of iron. You were suddenly very silent. You kept looking back.
What's wrong?
I think we should go back.
Go back now? After we've come all this way? Why?
Look behind. Look up at the sky behind us. Oh.
The light in front of us was still dazzling, but black, heavy clouds lay over the trees behind us.
Come on, we're going back.
And the sea? It's too far. It can't be that far now. It's too far to back home. Let's just keep going. We're free. I like it.
Come on. We're turning around.
Leela, you're afraid. Leela, wait for me. Leela, I can't breathe. We have to slow down.
All right.
You're shivering. You're really afraid.
We ran back, soaked. Nothing had gone according to our plan. When the storm broke over our neighbourhood, my mother went to pick me up at school with an umbrella and discovered I wasn't there. She'd been looking for me for hours. I saw her limping figure in the distance and ran towards her. She slapped me hard and threatened to kill me if I ever did it again. The next day, I met Leela near the school.
Did they beat you?
My mother did. You?
No one even noticed I'd gone.
Well, I have to go to the maestra now for my Latin.
They're still letting you study Latin?
Yes, why not? Leela, did you think that if I missed a day of school, they'd stop paying for my lessons? Is that why you wanted us to go? Is it?
I'm the one who insisted we go back.
That's because you were afraid. I think that the further away we got from the neighbourhood, the more unsure you were.
I don't care what you think.
I passed the exam anyway. And well, it meant I'd now go to the big school. Summer came.
I can't wait to go to the big school next year. Can you, Lena? It'll be fun and we'll learn all these things. More Latin and even Greek and maths and geography and history
and... But Leela, you can't go to that school.
Why not?
Because you didn't take the exam. Only Nino Saratori took the exam with me. And we're both going.
I don't care. I'll go anyway.
Did you really believe you could go? Reno had promised to pay for you, but he didn't in the end. You seemed dazed during those days, and I couldn't help reminding you I'd got a better report card than you at school. It was the first time I felt I was better than you. But I didn't like it. If I couldn't follow you, I had nowhere to go. You didn't say much, but then one afternoon I was calling up at your window when I heard you shouting insults at your father. Insults I would never have dared even think because they were so vulgar, and at your own father, because he hadn't paid for you to have lessons. He was a nice man, your father, Fernando, but like all fathers in the neighbourhood, he had a temper, and he was shouting back, and Nuncio was trying to calm everything down, and then I saw your small, thin figure fly like a doll out of the window and drop on the asphalt in front of me.
Leela! 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 Can you move? Leela!
I'm not hurt. Go away.
But you're bleeding. Let me help you.
Leave me alone.
Why are you holding your arm like that?
Because it must be broken, that's why. Go away, now!
You walked around with a cast for weeks, like a badge of honour. But there was no more talk of you going to the big school. You never mentioned it again.
That wasn't interesting. What was interesting was that a few days later, Don Achille was murdered. That's what you should remember, Lena. He was murdered in his own house.
He was still in his pyjamas, Lena. And there was a knife plunged right into his neck. The blood spurted and hit a copper pot on the wall. The murderer, or maybe it was the murderess, must have entered with a skeleton key.
You always insisted it was a murderess. Why?
How can you not see, even now? Look at Melina in her madness. Look at your mother. Look at mine. Those women, subdued and bent over, dragging their shopping and their children... Women who once had been like us girls, but were now deformed, looking more like misshapen men than women. It was as if the men had taken them over in every way, even in their violence. And when a woman murdered Don Achille, it was as revenge. Don't you see? It was the revenge by all the women of the neighbourhood.
Well, a few days later, there was a knock on the door where Signor Alfredo Peluso lived with his children, Carmela, Pasquale and Ciro. It was the Carabinieri. They seized Alfredo Peluso and dragged him away. I remember that.
Yes, but remember as well that I told you then that if it really was Signor Peluso who had killed Don Achille, then Signor Peluso had done a very good thing.
Tuo fal americano, americano.
You told me many years later that it was the night of the fireworks you had your first episode of what you described as dissolving margins, as if the outlines of people and things suddenly dissolved and disappeared in front of you. I never quite understood what you meant. We were seeing in the new year, 1959, and we were all on the terrace of Stefano's house, watching the fireworks.
It was cold on that terrace, Lena, but I was sweating. I felt nauseous. It was as if the solidity of the material things around us, which had been there forever, was starting to break down. The outlines of the people around us suddenly dissolved and revealed themselves in their full horror. How can I explain it? I felt repulsed by the bodies around me. How poorly we're made, I kept thinking. How wrong it all is. Shoulders, arms, legs, ears, noses look like the attributes of monstrous beings who've fallen accidentally from the black sky. And the most deformed of all that night was my brother, Rino. The brother I loved more than anyone in the world.
Look at that. We're beating the Solaris. We have the best fireworks. Come on, more.
Who's that squat animal? Of all the animals here, he's the greediest, the loudest, the meanest. And this smoke and fire, it stinks.
Leela, look over here. We're setting off the biggest one. The Solara brothers can't keep up. We're winning the battle of the fireworks.
Leela, where are you? We've lit up the sky. I have to get a hold of myself. I have to stop this dark stream running through me. I'm going to be sick. What's that? What's happening now?
They're shooting. The Solara bastards are shooting at us.
We'd begun year 7. I went to the big school, and you, Leela, were allowed by your father to go to a technical school, but you got ill and soon dropped out.
It was boring.
I didn't do well either. At first, I was glad to be in a school without you, where I thought that at last I could show myself as the best, not always second best to you. But I did badly. I felt my mediocrity, and I became convinced that without you next to me, I could never be anything more than second rate. The summer came. I was bored. You didn't seem to want to talk to me. You were now Carmela Peluso's friend. Carmela had also failed school. I spent the afternoons on my bed and dozed, but one afternoon I woke up and felt something wet. I went to the bathroom and discovered my knickers were stained with blood. I was terrified. I was sure my mother would be furious that I'd done something to myself between my legs. I washed my knickers carefully and put them back on wet. I ran out into the hot street. I had to find you.
Leela! Leela!
Hi, Lena.
Hi. Hello, Carmela. Where are you both going?
We're walking towards the church.
May I come with you?
If you want.
Leela, I have to talk to you. I have to tell you something.
What?
Please, Leela, just you.
Carmela's my friend too.
Is something wrong, Lena? Maybe I'm dying. I have this blood. It's coming from down here. And I can't stop it. What can it be?
Oh, that. I know all about it. I have it too. I've had it for a year.
Had what?
It's normal. Girls have it. You bleed every month and your back and stomach hurt. It lasts a few days and then goes away.
Really?
Yes, really. You won't die from it, you know. It's the opposite. It means you can make babies when a man sticks his thingy in your stomach.
Oh.
Yeah. It means you're grown up. And it's fine for boys to like you now.
Oh. Have you got it, Leela?
Leela's too short and skinny. Boys aren't interested in her.
Don't worry, Leela. I'm sure you'll get it soon.
I don't have it because I don't want to have it. It makes me sick. And anyone who has it makes me sick.
Ooh, listen to Leela. Yeah, Leela, what's wrong with growing up?
By the way, Lena, how's your Latin?
I'm fine, really.
Are you good at it?
Yes, very good.
Well, I failed school on purpose because I don't want to go to the technical school anymore.
What are you going to do instead?
I'm going to do whatever I want.
Leela, where are you going? Why is she so cross?
She's always cross. You know what she's like.
Yeah.
I hate school too. They all made fun of me because of my dialect. The teachers hated me. Maybe they'd heard about my father and that he's accused of murdering Don Achille, but... You know, Lena, he's innocent. The thing is, The difficulty is, I'm in love with Alfonso Caracci, Don Achille's son. Of Lena, it's so painful. I feel I'm being tortured, but I can't help it. Me, the daughter of a murderer, in love with the son of the victim, but every time I see him crossing the courtyard or passing by on the stradone, I feel faint. I've never told anyone about this, Lena.
Not even Leela.
She didn't have to tell me because I put that idea into her head. Sometimes I said things and it was as if as soon as I said them, they happened. I had that power and it was frightening.
No, only you, Lena, because I can't keep it inside anymore. I have to tell someone. What do you think? What should I do?
Well, let's think about it and examine all the possibilities. One possibility is...
School started again. I was getting fat and hairy under the armpits and on my pubis. I was sad, anxious. I worked very hard, but the maths made no sense and the Latin sentences were scrambled. I'd look at myself in the mirror and didn't know who I was anymore. My chest became large and soft, and I cried all the time, at the mercy of obscure forces acting inside my body. And those forces also began to act on the boys in my school.
Hey, Lena.
Hi, Gino.
Enjoying the classes?
Sure.
You know what my classmates are saying about you?
No. What? What are they saying?
They're saying your breasts aren't real and they stuff them with cotton wool to make them look bigger.
What?
But I said they were real. I bet 20 lira on it. And I'll tell you what, if I win, I'll keep 10, but I'll give you 10.
10 lira? That's a lot.
So, am I right? Are they real?
Yes.
But you have to prove it. I have to see them.
Give me the 10 lira first.
Stay here.
Why?
Just stay.
I wondered what you would do, Leela. I wanted to run away, but I knew you wouldn't. I knew you'd wait, firm and fierce.
This is my friend. Hello. There has to be a witness or others won't believe me.
I heard your tone in my head and I took it.
First the money. Right, we can go over here. Right, turn around, both of you, and only turn back when I tell you. Now, you can turn. There. Now you can both run off.
There you were, next to me, always like a demanding ghost. I'd used your tone, I'd mimicked your behaviour, I'd done what you would have done, but it wasn't enough. It didn't make me feel any better. I kept passing by your father's shoe repair shop, and I saw you inside arranging shoes on a long table. I wanted to tell you everything, but you didn't see me and I kept walking.
I wasn't arranging shoes, Lena. I was learning how to make them. Have you forgotten?
The Cirillo shoes? How could I forget?
Yes, the shoes I designed, the shoes that caused so much trouble. One pair of shoes to break up a family and ruin a marriage.
So, you're still doing well in Latin, are you?
Yes.
So why did you fail the exam?
How do you know? You're not at my school.
You don't think I know everything about you?
Why should you? I never see you. You're always at the shoe repair shop. You never even raise your head when I walk by. You never come and look for me. What do you care?
Are you going to get extra lessons to make it up?
No, my father won't pay for them. He says it's pointless for me to continue if I do so badly. The books were expensive enough. Alfonso and Giuliola did much better than me. I'm not as good as they are. I'm stupid. I'll stop school.
No, you won't.
What, you're going to stop me?
You can study on your own, can't you?
That's what my mother says, but she doesn't understand. And you don't either. It's hard. It's really hard, and... I'm not very good, that's all.
We're still friends, aren't we?
You're the one who prefers Carmela.
She believes everything I say. You know she's madly in love with Alfonso.
Yes, she told me.
But she's only in love with him because I suggested it. I thought that if the daughter of the murderer, Signor Peluso, and the son of the murdered victim, Don Achille, fell in love, then maybe something in the neighbourhood would change.
There needs to be a change. We can do that. You and I. By inventing a different story.
Like a game, but you have to know how to play it.
And we're the only ones who know.
Yes, you and I.
Lena, will you do me a favour?
Yes, Leela, anything. I'll do anything for you, you know that.
I want you to meet with me every day in the public gardens, just for an hour before dinner, and bring all your Latin books, especially that big dictionary.
That's all.
That's enough. For now.
I should have guessed that you already knew much more Latin than I did. How did you manage to learn it on your own? You could always focus. I was distracted by everything around me.
No, you have that wrong, Lena. Concentrate.
Have you ever noticed how the bar of the Solaras has become so much bigger and it's even a pastry shop now? Giliola's father is making a pastry. I had one, it was really good.
I assigned you 30 sentences, 20 from Latin to Italian, that's easy, and 10 from Italian to Latin. You haven't done half of them and the rest are full of mistakes.
Oh, look, Leela, there's the car Michele and Marcello just bought. It's a Fiat 1100, that's what my father told me. Oh, it's so beautiful, blue and white.
Let's start again. You know why you keep getting the sentences wrong?
That's Pasquale up there on the scaffolding near the railway. I can recognise him. He helped cut down all the trees to clear the land and now he's a proper builder.
Ouch! What was that for? If you don't concentrate, you'll never learn anything.
You don't have to hit me.
What you're doing is trying to translate in the order of the words. You see, that's wrong. Read the whole sentence out in Latin first. Then you look for the verb. That tells you what the subject is. And then you look for the object if the verb is transitive. See? Try it now while I look up some new words in the dictionary.
How come you know so much Latin?
I really love this dictionary. Look at all the pages, all these words.
No, tell me.
I took out a grammar from the library. I wanted to see what this thing called Latin was. I can take out 4 books a week. Enough talking now. Do those translations.
That September, I did the written exam without a single mistake and answered all the questions in the oral part. I couldn't wait to tell you. You were waiting for me outside the school.
Leela! Leela, I did really well. I'm staying in the school. We can continue to study together. I'd really like that.
Why would I do that?
Well, I thought you liked Latin.
I was just curious. Anyway, I can always get a book from the library.
There's a lot more to study.
You study for me, Lenu. I have more important things to do.
What can be more important than Latin?
Shoes. Good, handmade, beautiful shoes.
Shoes, Leela? You're going to make shoes?
My father left home when he was young and he went to work in a factory in Casoria. Did you know that? He wanted to get away from his own father's repair shop and he just left. He made shoes for everyone, even the soldiers going to war. He knows how to make a shoe from beginning to end by hand, but also how to use the machines. He knows everything. But now, I don't know why, he's happy just sitting there in the same old shoe repair shop, gluing old soles onto other people's old shoes. We could be making new shoes instead. I've watched him and I can do it now. I know all about heels and how you prepare the thread and where you find the best leather. And don't tell anyone, I've actually designed a pair of shoes. No one's ever seen shoes like that before and I know they'll be comfortable. Do you want to see the drawings?
Oh, yes.
Here. I keep them hidden on me so no one can find them.
Oh, they're beautiful. They're really beautiful.
Here are some I've designed for women.
Oh, they're like shoes from a fairy tale.
But they're real. They can be made. You'll see. Although Reno says they'll be difficult.
What, but he knows how to make them? The shoes in the drawing?
He swears he can make them.
And your father?
Oh, yes. He could do it.
Then make them.
Papa doesn't want to. Doing something like that takes time and money and he doesn't want to take any risks. I've done the figures, I know it's risky. Maybe Papa's right, it's pointless.
I think you should make them anyway.
I don't know how to persuade Papa. I can't make him see it and now nothing will ever change. We'll stay in that shop preparing shoes forever, in our dirt and poverty and ignorance.
But we were going to make money writing, like the author of Little Women. You shouldn't be discouraged just because Maestro Oliviero never said anything about your story. You said we could write something together. You said you'd started another story.
I don't believe in that anymore. If you really want to make money these days, you need a business. You start with one beautiful pair of shoes, then 4, then 30 a month. And then you have a factory, the Cerullo Shoe Factory, and 50 workers under you.
Yes, I see. Well, you'll have to work at convincing your father.
You think so?
Yes, Leela. After all,
What could be more important than shoes?
And I believed that because everything you touched became important, more important than anything I was doing, like going to school and learning Latin and now Greek. But I did really well that year and got top marks in all my subjects. And my chest got bigger too. You were still scrawny.
Not for long.
Well, the Solara brothers were first interested in me, not you.
The Solara brothers?
You have to admit they were handsome. I thought Marcello looked like Hector from the Iliad.
But they were never interested in you.
What about the time they asked me to get into their car?
Hey, Lenny, you haven't been in the car?
No, Marcello, I haven't.
Well, get in then, we'll take you for a ride.
My father won't let me.
We won't tell him, will we?
If he ever found out, he'd beat me to death.
He'll never find out, Lenny. Come on. When are you ever going to get another chance to ride in a car?
I don't know. Probably never.
Well, what are you waiting for?
I can't. Leave me alone. I'm meeting Giliola. She's over there. She could talk.
Okay. You were only asking politely.
Yes, they didn't insist because you had a father who was a porter in the town hall. Look at what those bastards did with Melina's daughter, Ada.
Maybe she agreed to go with them.
She was 14.
She wore lipstick. And she had even bigger breasts than I did.
They didn't ask her politely. They made rude remarks to her. And then Michele Solara grabbed her by the arm, opened the car door and pulled her inside.
She could have screamed.
Yeah, how do you know she didn't? And then they brought her back an hour later.
Well, I heard she was a little angry, but laughing.
And of course, someone saw this and they reported it to Antonio, her brother. You know how shy and quiet he was. But he had to wait for the two brothers in front of the Bar Solara, wait for them to come out, and he had to start beating them, one against two. The Solara brothers went to the gym every day. They were strong. And then Silvio Solara, the father, came out, and one of the barmen, and the four of them beat Antonio to a pulp. And no one, not one customer, not one passerby, lifted a finger to help. That's what the Solaras did.
Well, a lot of people took their side.
Yes, stupid girls like Giliola and Carmella.
I don't see what's wrong. Ada agreed to go in the car, I'm sure she did. She must have felt very pleased. The daughter of crazy Melina sitting like that in a car next to one of the Solara brothers. And they're very handsome.
They're handsome? If it had been me, I wouldn't have let my brother or my father get hurt for my sake. I would have taken care of them myself with this. I keep it on me, just in case.
You don't need a knife to protect you. They'll never look at you. You're all skin and bones. And you have rough yellow hands from working with shoes.
Carmella? It's better that way. Believe me.
But that didn't last. You started bleeding too. And I wondered what that would do to you. I didn't see much of a change, except you were suddenly much taller than I was. I didn't see what the others saw.
What's that bracelet on your arm, Lena? Is it silver?
It's my mother's. She said I could wear it on Sundays.
Why?
Because I've done so well at school.
What did you get in Latin?
9 out of 10.
Really?
Yeah. There's the Fiat again, Leela. It's the Solaras. Let's cross the street.
Frightened?
Of course not.
Hey, you lovely young ladies. We keep seeing you walk back and forth in the same old street. Do you have any idea how big Naples is? We could show it to you in half an hour.
Get in.
We can't. I'm sorry.
Hey, Mish. Look at that nice bracelet the porter's daughter's wearing. Can I see it more closely?
Leave me alone.
It's very nice. It looks good on you.
Oh, God, look, you've broken it.
It's all right. I'm sure I can fix it. Give me a nice little hand.
Please.
Touch my friend like that again and I'll kill you.
The whore is threatening you, Marge. She wouldn't have the guts.
Dare to come closer and I'll show you.
Hey, stop that knife sharp.
Yeah, and it's under your throat. See, Mitch? You don't think I have the guts to plunge the knife into your brother's throat. Want to dare me?
Ouch! You've cut the skin. I'm bleeding.
Yeah, and now I'm going to stick it straight into you. Then there'll be a lot of blood.
Stop, all of you. Stop, please.
All right, Leela. All right, we've got the message. Now take that knife away. Marcello, get into the car. Apologise to the ladies and let's go.
I only wanted to fix the bracelet, Leela. I'm sorry I upset your friend. I'm really very sorry.
Come on, Lena, let's go home.
I wasn't scared, Leela, really. I was just upset about the bracelet. Would you really have stuck that knife into Marcello's throat?
Yeah.
In part one of My Brilliant Friend by Elena Ferrante, translated from the Italian by Anne Goldstein and dramatised for radio by Timberlake Wurtenbaker, the part of Lena was played by Monica Dolan and Leela by Anastasia Hilly. Young Lena was Elizabeth McEverly and teenage Lena, Daisy Tompkinson. Young Leela, Grace Wingate. Teenage Leela, Chloe Harris. Marisa Saratore, Ruby Callahan. Carmela, Harriet Waters. Reno, Tom Vary. Gino, Max Christo. Marcello, Luke Williams. Michele, Lee Rufford. Enzo, Orlando Campolucci Bordi. Maestra Oliviero, Christine Kavanagh. Nuncia Cerulo, Becky Hindley. Don Achille, Stephen Critchlow. Donna Maria Achille, Jane Wittenshaw. All other parts were played by Luca Dixon, Matilda Freeman, and members of the cast. My Brilliant Friend was directed by Celia DeWolf and was a peer production for BBC Radio 4.